Hey, it's Dr. J, and guess what? We've got a special edition today, and I've got people that are superstars in different genres. Today, we're going to be talking about money and how you can actually make it your best friend. And it's going to be specifically for the fitness industry, the health and wellness industry, allied health professionals, all of you guys that are in the fitness industry that maybe scratch your head sometimes and say, "What do I do? I'm working so hard. I work, 80 hours a week, and I'm not making any money." So I've actually pulled inside my inner circle. And some of you would know, and I think most of you know me well, my inner circle is pretty tight. We don't let people in it unless they are people that are doers and have actually achieved something. So I've actually asked my good friend and actual mentor, Jackson Milan. He actually is a wealth coach, and he's worked with many, many people in the fitness industry. And I'll tell you, I'm sure he'll tell you, he's generated, many, many hundreds of thousands, millions, and billions of dollars for people since he's been helping people. And we've got another guest, Mel Tempest. Now, this woman actually goes out and actually she makes a massive difference. She's a voice in the fitness industry, and she asks some really tickly questions sometimes. And I'm sure she's going to ask Jackson some as well. Mel's always going to get out there and speak a straight talk. And I love that sort of thing because what happens is she asks the questions that we think. So, with no further ado, firstly, thank you, Jackson, for joining us. I really appreciate it, mate.
Awesome to be here. Looking forward to sharing some value to the fitness industry in these troubling times.
Terrific. And Mel, thanks for coming on. I know you're a busy lady, always in the car.
Always in the car, Steve, as you know, but extremely grateful for being included today to work alongside Jackson.
Terrific. Well, I'm going to ask with a few questions with no further ado. Now, a question that we both have is in the fitness industry, whether you're a worker, an employee, a PAYG person, or a person who is let's say, an owner operator, or maybe a franchisee, or maybe a partner, which has their skin in the game. What is the reason that people just don't understand a thing called money and wealth creation?
You
You go,
go
Mel.
if you want, Jackson.
No, please, Mel.
I think from my perspective is that we aren't educated on money the moment we say we're going to start a business. Reality is we go into the fitness industry because we're passionate about helping people. We might like to teach, do programming, whatever it might be. So money is not a consideration at all. And a lot of people actually, from my era, haven't even finished their secondary education, let alone go to university. So money to them is just something that comes in each week. And for some people, they live week to week. So therefore, I would say no education means they don't understand what it can do for them and they don't understand what it represents.
Okay, Jackson.
I agree with that 100%. I think that our schooling system has failed us. It hasn't taught us the fundamental skills to be successful as human beings. And I actually feel that for a lot of my clients who've actually exited school earlier, it's actually done them more good than harm because they haven't been boxed into this very much institutionalized way of looking at the world. Because for many of us, we're pushed out into the big bad world with false pretenses. We think it's all sunshines and lollipops. And for those of you who are business owners, and particularly those of you who are in the fitness space right now, it's bloody tough out there. And the biggest thing that I find for most people, particularly in the fitness space, is that their money beliefs and behaviors have been formed by their personal experiences. And we talk about this a lot, about your money memories and paying homage to where you've come from as an individual on your money journey. What are the things that come up for you? Was there an experience when you were young that you maybe saw your parents that were struggling with money? Well, caught up with a group of fitness gym owners the other day, and we're talking about their money memories around their parents saying money doesn't grow on trees, that we don't have enough to be able to afford that. No, put that back. And all of these things that we have as we're growing up form part of our money DNA. And they impact us and become a vicious cycle for many years thereafter. And this is sometimes why we wonder, well, why are we caught in this vicious cycle? Well, we need to sort those things out first, and hopefully we're going to uncover some of that today.
I really feel that there's a couple of things that just come up from what both you and Mel said. First thing is the word money, it's something that we use to buy stuff. We don't talk about money when we have a business or it's creating surplus to create wealth. There's an enormous difference in getting the understanding that if we have a little bit of money, if they just read The Richest Man in Babylon, it's a really great starter, isn't it, Jackson?
Phenomenal.
If they just understand wealth is not created by working hard, working hard gives you the opportunity to create the surplus to that you get your money to work hard, because your money will work much, much harder than your work can ever do. I mean, I remember when I was a young man and I just fell into it by mistake because I had much cleverer people around me that showed me that $10 invested wisely was better than working an extra few hours a day. And I've lived through that for all of my life. And I guarantee you, when things have been tough, the investments have got me through. So I'd love you to tell us some of the mistakes that you've seen from an employee and also an owner. What are the mistakes they're making right now that doesn't give them that? We're going to call it a war chest. Let's say we get laid off for a while, war chest. Let's say business drops down a little bit, COVID, for instance, war chest. What are the mistakes? Just maybe a couple of big ones.
Yeah, I think the big one, and I think Mel can build on this as well from a lot of the gym owners that she's worked with, people have had this false sense of security for a very long time. Like, think about it. The last time that we had any form of economic uncertainty was the global financial crisis in 2008, 2009. And to be fair, Australia was relatively unscathed through that time. Like, it wasn't easy, but we escaped pretty fat and happy. And I think for a very long time, many business owners particularly have taken things for granted, that they haven't prepared for the so-called rainy day. And because there's been bright skies, to be fair. And for this reason, most of us have deferred the idea of preparing for the plan B, the what if scenario of what happens when the wheels actually fall off. And this has come down to a number of things. They haven't known their numbers, so there hasn't been enough margin or enough surplus like you were talking about, Steve. Or they said, actually, I'm just going to worry about that later. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. The fitness industry is booming. Everyone's really successful. We're all doing great. I'll deal with that later. And for this reason, there's been many people have been caught with their pants down. Unfortunately, many of them aren't going to be able to live to fight another day in their business. But for those of you who survive, we need to learn from this experience and make sure that we build up that war chest, that we've got that cash flow that we can fall back on. If things come to a grinding halt, we lock down again, gym shut again, that you've got the ability to see this through and get your business back on track afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
So what do you think about that, Mel, as far as the mindset of some of the owners and also the people that are employees to creating that war chest?
Extravagance. Everybody wants what the gym owner down the road's got. I've got to have it too. If I don't have it, members aren't going to join my club. You know, in the 80s, I worked in the real estate industry when interest rates went up to 22-23%, excuse me. And the most heartbreaking visual thing that I saw were people who walked into the real estate office and handed their keys back because they couldn't afford to live in their house. You went to their houses and they were extravagant. People live beyond their means sometimes when they purchase homes and cars, and they have nothing to fall back on if they lose their job. Owning a fitness business is no different. People, a lot of club owners live in fear. Fear that a member's not going to stay, a member's not going to join, another facility's opening, and they overspend. And what happens is they shut the gym doors and they've got all of these things that they're supposed to be paying for, licenses to this product, licenses for that product. They've got no money coming in and they've got no money in the bank, and they've just hit a wall, all because they felt that they needed to be like somebody else. And seriously, that's what it is. The amount of gym owners that I speak to say, but if I don't have that in my business, my members might go down and join this. And if I don't have HIIT classes, my members might go there. And if I don't update my treadmills. Well, you know what? People buy on experience. They don't buy on what's in your club. And one thing that people really need to understand, your wealth is in what you own and not what you owe.
So that's a good segue, because when it comes down to the sales cycle, people do buy that experience, and we've got to make sure that people update their sales cycle. You know, especially in our industry, the old ways of doing things have died, and unless they upgrade their processes, they're not going to have the surplus that's required. So given that we know the problems, they go and buy the silver balls and they haven't got the education. I want to have some steps from the guru. how to create a war chest. Now, in all of my businesses, even when I was a puppy, I was always told to have a thing called a sinking fund. Because when we started the business, we always never took any profit from the first 2 to 3 years. And then we started to give the dividends in small amounts, like 50% dividends and maybe 70% if you were going to be a little bit outrageous. And then we always had a sinking fund. Now, there's things change, but you know, old things die hard. So from your experience, whether you're an employee or whether you are an owner of a business, what's your thoughts on having sinking funds? Is it 10% of gross revenues that are left there? Is it 20% after you've paid yourself first? What's your thoughts on that? Because I know you have a bucket process, but I want to go right back to have a little bit of a plan here, Jackson.
Definitely. So let's talk about where most people get it wrong. The way that people most people get it wrong is that they fall into these kind of societal and community pressures of what they think everyone else is doing. And this is exactly the same as what Mel was talking about before, that we see the gym down the road's bought all of this new equipment. I need to update my equipment. My friends are driving these types of cars and that I need to keep up this sort of appearance. So we're constantly just buying into this lifestyle pressure, and it ultimately means that we end up having this lifestyle creep, that life and business continues to get more and more and more and more expensive. What most people fail to do is look at what they really want, and more importantly, why. And the most important thing, whether you're working in a business or whether you are the owner or partner in a business, is that you need to understand that your business is just a vehicle. It is a vehicle for you to create the life that you really want. You're passionate about your gym. You love your members. I'm sure you can never see yourself doing anything else. However, it's that passion that also needs to create profit. Because if business is not profitable, there is absolutely no point. You may as well throw it in and go and get a job. So ask yourself, what do you really want? And more importantly, why? Do you want to buy a new home? Do you want to be debt-free in 10 years? Do you want to buy a commercial premises? Do you want to be able to have financial freedom by age 55 so you can work just because you want to, not because you need to?
Can I just jump in there for 1 minute? Because what you just said is a really big deal. You live in this world, my friend. I find a lot of people, when I ask that sort of question, they've never even thought about it. Now, I know in your coaching, you actually do quite an extensive deep dive.
We do.
And you say, well, what are these things? And I know you've had problems with finding people to find out what was that wish list for them, Proprietor Limited, because they've never thought of it. So do you think from your experience, and you've worked with a lot of people in the health and fitness industry, do you think we need to go back and just get them to think about those things? And then
definitely,
once they've actually opened that Pandora's box, they have a different paradigm? Because I find a lot of people haven't even thought about it, mate.
They haven't, exactly. And it's because we're all stuck on the coalface, right? We're busy doing the PT sessions. We're busy onboarding new members. We're busy doing marketing. We're busy facilitating classes, whatever it might be. We're busy doing the admin, that we put ourselves last. And there's three very simple questions that we ask to get people to the root cause of what they really want and why.
Okay, say this slowly so that everyone can write them down, mate.
So question number one is, what is fundamentally important to you? Or what are your non-negotiable needs? So what are the things that you can't do without? Question number two is, assuming that your fundamental needs have been met, what then becomes your goals, your dreams, and your aspirations? And question number three is, what is the significance of those goals, dreams, and aspirations to you? Why are they so important? And we have an exercise that we'll share with you guys at the end of this. If you just click the link below and you're able to get access to this exercise and sit down and just do this. And it's going to be a bit challenging, but you work your way through it. Now, let's tie this back into the war chest. You will never find the determination to stick to creating a war chest unless you know why you're creating a war chest. Because the war chest is going to protect your ability to achieve all those things that you really want. Because the war chest is the insurance policy. It is the thing that's going to allow you that when the wheels fall off and shit hits the fan, to be able to keep on track for achieving those goals. So then when we do the calculations, then it's going to make it a whole lot easier, because you can visualize the why, because it's the why that is why we do this.
Mel, you actually have a strong why. When your journey has been amazing. from adversity, and your how tenacious you are to be able to look at things a little bit differently outside the box. You're entrepreneurial, but also you're a businesswoman, but you've had significant success. You've actually created a strong business, and you've been gone into a competition market, but also you've invested your money wisely and created a wealth strategy. So from your experience, I know you talk with a lot of people. What's your slant on that?
My slant on that? Steve, to be quite honest with you, I think I understood what Jackson was saying, but I've actually got a question for Jackson.
Right, go.
Do you think people really understand what fundamental means? So if you were to say to me, what is it that you really want? What can't you do without? I know that I want to be able to leave a legacy for my children, and I want to be able to leave a legacy for the industry. But a lot of people mistake fundamentals for materialistic things. Do you think that people actually don't understand the questions when you're asking them?
That's a really good point, Mel. And here's the thing. The reason why the questions are vague is because they need to insert their own meaning into them. And this is, I guess, the contrast between what everyone else is doing and what you really want. And the questions are to be defined by the individual. It could be superficial. I've had individuals that have said, hey, if I don't have 4 weeks away overseas a year, I'm going to go mental. And that's fine. And for some like yourself, Mel, when you get to that level of self-actualization where you've achieved everything, you've achieved the success, it becomes about two main things. It comes about that legacy and setting your kids up for success. And this comes back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. For many people who have their essential needs, their core needs challenged, they can't think beyond that. Let's say somebody's at the threat of becoming homeless. They're not going to think about their aspirational goal of buying a Ferrari. And this is the important point, that we're all running our own race. Just because the gym down the road is hugely successful, amazingly profitable, and they drive a Maserati, you don't need to feel the pressure to have to succumb to or follow the same path. Because the reality is, if you tried to walk exactly the same path of them, implement the same strategy, you're probably going to fail because they're multiple steps ahead. I think that's what a lot of people fall into the trap of. And you're right, they overextend themselves and they get themselves into a lot of hot water.
So with that in mind, Jackson, you've been doing this for a very long time. You've got a crew of people that do this. And I'm just hearing here, and I've heard this a number of times, there are financial planners, which say you go to a planner, they say, oh, invest in this, invest in that, we'll chit-chat with you every 6 months and so forth. But I think what Mel's saying is, I think she's spot on. I think you're, and both of you are, people don't understand what they don't know. If I don't know what I don't know, I'm in bliss. But when I ask a question that I don't know what it means, this is where they need coaching.
Correct.
And do you think it's really possible, unless you come from a family or a society or community that talks that language, do you think it's really possible for people just to pull it out of the abyss, or do they need help? Because I know I'll just talk for myself. I need help. There are things I am crap at, and I will ask for help with those sorts of things. So
definitely,
you think in this day and age, that's what people have to do, and just have a realization that I just don't know?
Definitely. You've got to admit your strengths and weaknesses. And I think Mel will agree here that you play to what you're good at, and you outsource everything else to people who've been on the journey that have already made the mistakes and can stop you from having to make the costly mistakes yourself.
Yeah, I'm the queen of delegation. I do what I'm good at. I advise on what I'm good at. And what I don't know anything about, I don't falsify that in order to keep a client. I go, you know what? I actually not really good at that, but here's somebody who is. And I think the best business people that you can deal with are those that put up their hand to go, if I don't know the answer, I'm going to shoot you across to Jackson, or I'm going to shoot you across to Steve. And the problem we have in our industry is, and I'm backpedaling a little bit here, is that too many people who need help buy on face value of the person that's selling that help. They put their trust into people, assuming that they're going to do the right thing and give them the right advice, and it costs them thousands and thousands of dollars, and they've been led down the garden path. What we need to do is to educate and encourage people that need help to ask the questions that are going to give them the right people to help them. You know, I always say to people when they come to me, they'll say, oh, I'm going to ask so-and-so about this. What do you think? I say, well, first of all, let's look as a person. Let's look at their CV. Who have they coached? Is that person successful? What do they have? Have a look at their background. Don't just assume that because a person's flashy all over social media, they're going to deliver incredible results, because we all know that lots of people out there are show ponies. But going back, we need to educate the gym owners on the questions that they need to ask when they go to somebody for help. It's as simple as that.
100%. I couldn't agree more, Mel. I had a recent situation with a client of mine who runs a martial arts gym. And they'd engaged a marketing agency on face value of apparently getting all of these great results. And when we crunched the numbers on the campaigns and looked at the cost per acquisition compared to the customer value of what they were actually bringing in, it just didn't make financial sense. And lucky we were able to give them that insight that they could rip the Band-Aid off and terminate that relationship before it could have cost them tens of thousands of dollars. And you're right, there's so much of this kind of face value, superficial, just look at me, just because I'm on social media, I'm awesome. You've got to do your due diligence, guys, particularly at times like this, because at the end of the day, it can mean the difference between you thriving or you suffering a lot and potentially doing irreparable damage in your business.
Yeah, I mean, don't you agree that getting an advisor is no different than buying a piece of real estate or buying a car? We do our homework for that, don't we?
Exactly.
So why not do our homework for an advisor?
And I think the marketplace has changed. Mel, you will concur with this, and I know Jackson will. When we go out into market, we find people that have had success and they've had the test of time. They've been around a while. It's these new fly-by-nighters that come up with these things with outlandish, let's say, promises that have no foundation. But it seems to me that because we've now got in, we're in a world of information. However, information is a waste of time unless there's implementation. Or firstly, utilization and implementation, and having a coach that's going to hold you accountable and to teach you the things that we don't know, I think is absolutely essential in this day and age, especially in something with, in some cases, people are very foreign about that word called profit, wealth, and then money. Money is irrelevant. I think we have a thing called Money Matters every fortnight. And one thing that Jackson said was, hey, look, the money matters. It's about money things, but money doesn't matter. It's what you do with them. So I believe it's really critical now that we say, well, I want to have some wealth for the reasons for. Where do I get the advice and coaching? I think that's the thing that's missing. Would you agree with that, Jackson?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I think that people should get a fundamental understanding of this stuff. You shouldn't be outsourcing things blindly. And even myself personally, I've been burnt on this before, where when I first got into business, when I was younger, I didn't want to learn marketing. I figured, not an interest of mine, I'm going to outsource it completely. And the amount of times that I got burnt by agencies that promised the world and delivered nothing was huge, because I didn't have enough information, enough insight and understanding of what it is they're actually doing to put them through their paces. And the same should happen with a sales coach, with a business coach, with a wealth coach. You need to have a base level understanding before you outsource these things, because you cannot expect to just outsource absolutely everything in your business, because people are going to pull the wool out of your eyes. They really will. It is a minefield out there, guys. Small business is the Wild West. And
sorry, Jackson, finish.
No, and you've got to have the right tools to defend yourself.
You do. I agree with that. I said to you guys before we went online that when I first opened my business, we were open about 3 months, and the accountant walked in and said, Mel, you know, you have to pay BAS. And I said, what's BAS? So, you know, again, you know, no education there. I was passionate about opening a business. So, you know, go find an accountant that will actually tell you what you actually have to pay, you know, 3 to 4 months into your business. Moving away from that story, I've been helping some business owners through COVID. And what distressed me the most is the structure of how some of their businesses were set up, so that they were now put in a position with COVID that they weren't actually able to get any financial help from the government based on the way that their accountants had set up their business. And these were people like all three of us who should have been given some type of financial assistance. So again, I say to people who are listening, if you go and sit in front of an accountant and he starts saying to you, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do, you need to actually go to your worst scenario. So if anything goes pear-shaped, where am I going to be sitting? Am I going to be able to apply for some type of assistance if I'm put in that position? Mm. And it all comes back to education and finding the right people to help you. And this is where the fitness industry has failed a lot of fitness professionals. They just sort of they go out there and open up a business and assume that they're middle-level, high-level educated people, when in fact, they're like me, they left school at 14 to sell hot chips and dim sims. And there was nobody there to help them at the very beginning. And it's all these little things that people assume that people know that they don't know. And that's where we sort of really need to go in as an industry and start helping those people.
So this is great. We could go here for hours, but I've got to get a final question because I know Jackson's got to go and so have you got a Mel. Now,
Terrific.
And I hope people are taking some notes here because you can reach out to Mel, you can reach out to Jackson, myself, if need be, because we work in this space. Jackson is that wealth coach. He has very, very strong business acumen. Now, Mel's on the coalface every single day running around stuff. We're working with thousands of businesses globally, and we have this conversation. So this is a resource, so please use it. But I'd love to segue in what we've just spoken about. Jackson, you work with a number of fitness businesses. And look, not mentioning names or types of businesses and so forth, but I'd love you to give us a scenario because I want to sort of segue this into two easy things that people could do straight away. Could you tell us a business that was in a little bit of strife and a couple of things that you asked them to do and what the outcomes were, just briefly?
Definitely. So bringing this all home of the point that we were talking about before of having goals that you're working towards. In your business, you need a North Star. If you do not have a North Star, you are flying completely blind. And just because we're in COVID, we're in the first recession in 30 years, does not mean that you cannot be successful in business. The best businesses are built through these times.
Yeah.
So you need a clear North Star. A client that I was working with that runs a very good business, but it was a cash eating monster, a high intensity interval training gym. And when we went through this process, he'd been spending the last few years of just doubling down and reinvesting back into his business. That's the only thing that mattered. But when we had the conversation, what came out is he's got a young family. He wanted to upgrade his home. He wanted to buy a bigger home that would have a yard for his kids to run out around in the eastern suburbs. So we worked out a plan of how much do we need to spend? What do we need to do to be able to borrow the amount of money to be able to buy that property? What would the profit target need to be for the business? And then we reverse engineered that into every single one of his KPIs to link the number of leads that he needed in his business to his ability to get into this dream home. Now imagine that you could link your lead indicator to the outcome that matters most to you in this world. That if you hit that, it basically presupposed that you would get the outcome. And this is about linking actions to outcomes. Now, he didn't leave unscathed through the COVID-19 situation. However, we had the war chest in place. We had the plan in place. We knew what we needed to course correct. And as soon as we could open those doors again, he's put foot to the ground and he's back to his member numbers where he was pre-COVID. And we're now on track to be able to hit his income target, which is a very substantial income target, mind you, to allow him to buy this multi-million dollar home by the end of this financial year.
Wow.
So guys, this is the importance of a North Star. If you've got a North Star, you know the direction that you need to go. We always work better to targets, right?
Absolutely. We've got to make sure we have a target and have a reason for it. So accountability is key here. That's why I talked about coach. I know with all our clients and so forth, if I'm not on the phone having a little bit of a chin wag, even do a little bit of a deep dive just to see how things are traveling and say they're at front of mind, it's not happening. And I know that makes an enormous difference. And I think just having a financial planner or an accountant that you've got to proactively then speak to is not the way to go if you want the education. I think it's someone that's going to have the care factor of actually saying, hey, I've got to talk to Bob or Mary and see how you're traveling. Are you doing the things that are going to give you that property or that North Star? Would you agree with that, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
All right.
Don't be the plumber with the leaky taps, guys. Like, ask yourself, if you need help with sales, then get a sales coach. Yeah. If you need help with business business coaching in your business, get a business coach. Or if your finances and profitability and personal wealth creation is what you really need, then get a wealth coach. Just don't be the plumbers with the leaky taps, because at the end of the day, what you're doing in your business, the reason why your business exists is because you are holding your clients and your members to a higher standard than they would typically hold themselves. Do yourself the favor and get the same level of help.
Is it the specificity? From what I'm hearing here, is not just having, we want to make lots of money. It's having the specificity and going right back into your business and say, well, hang on, what can we reduce costs in? What are we going to spend money on? But we're measuring what we're doing, and then having someone to measure it with.
Exactly. It's being decisive. The analogy that I like to make is it's like walking in the dark in a strange room. You're tentative, right? You're not sure what you're going to trip on, where the couch is, where the light switch is. But as soon as somebody turns on that light, you can then navigate that room with complete confidence because you've got all your senses.
Yeah.
So if you're walking in the dark when it comes to your finances, your sales, your business strategy, get somebody who knows how to turn on the light for you.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, Mel, you did an exercise just recently and you found out there was a certain things that you were doing that you hadn't done for about 12 months. And you found out that, gee whiz, I could make some small adjustments here that would help your businesses. And that exercise that you did, I think, Jackson, you suggested that she did it not once a year, but once a month.
Is that right? He did. So what I did was I grabbed my P&L and I had to be quite honest with myself and deduct from my P&L what was Mel's expenses that were not related to the business. So what I'm saying is Mel's expenses that weren't related to the business, even things that I claimed through my business that were more home related, I still had to take those away. And of course, what that meant was when I took that away, and I'm not ashamed to say, so I have a great profit in my business, but it just became greater, which obviously means that my business is worth more value when I do go to sell it eventually. And so I was just telling Jackson, you know, I only really do it once a year because, you know, I'm happy with where I am in my business. And then Jackson said to me, you should do it monthly. I thought, that's actually a great idea. So what I'm going to do is on the first of every month, I'm going to sit down, go through my P&L and see where I've been spending that's not related to the business. And actually, I'm going to set my own KPI and I'm going to try and reduce some of that spending that I probably don't need to have.
And guess what? You'll have then surplus if you want to do investments in other things, you will then have a bit of a plan. Maybe have a chat with Jackson. You'll actually.
And that's what I want to do, Steve. And that's the purpose of doing what I did, because, you know, I love commercial property and I'm not that old that I have to retire. And I want to invest further. And that was the purpose of doing the P&L.
Terrific. I love that. That's fantastic. And I think this is the thing, guys. In our business, we have all of these cash flow bottlenecks that to you as individuals who aren't financially savvy, that didn't get into business to be financial whizzes, are invisible. But to people like me and my team are blatantly obvious. And it's the little cash flow bottlenecks that add up over time. Yeah. The little subscription that's $15 a month, the other membership that you've got that's $100 a month. And when you add it all up, and you start consolidating these things, it's going to make a meaningful difference in your business. In many cases, it can be thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars of increased cash flow. At a bare minimum, we do a review of cash flow bottlenecks for our new clients, and we find on average at least $3,000 a month of cash flow bottlenecks that immediately, unlike lead generation or anything like that, can be added immediately back to your business once removed. And it's one of these things that if you can do it monthly, the things that you track and measure are the things that you can improve.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's critical that we have someone to help us do that. So, Jackson, I'm going to throw this at you now, mate. How can people have a chat with you? Or what can you? How can we help some of our buddies, fitness industry in general, and allied health professionals? What can we do?
First things first is get educated, guys. The financial monster that you're afraid of that's under the bed is not going to be as scary when you finally go under and have a look at it, right? Because the idea here is about just adding simple tools to your kit bag that are going to empower you to be a better professional, be a better business owner when it comes to doing your day-to-day, because money is what makes the world go round. And so you need to understand how to manipulate it and use it to your will and to your benefit if you're going to be successful in life and business. So one of the resources I'm going to give you guys is some VIP training that I've developed that's about creating killer cash flow. And it's going to give you easy to implement tools that are going to take the fear out of your numbers and make it really, really simple for you to be able to get on top of these things and take that first step to getting some tools in your kit bag that's going to help you make better decisions. And then from that point, if you want to have a conversation about how we can help you, there'll be a booking link where you can reach out to me. We'll have a conversation. We can put together a bit of a game plan and we can help you put it all into place.
Terrific. So we can, you're going to give us a link for the a resource that we can do a little bit of create a killer cash flow and also a link to maybe have a quick chin wag with you about. Is that right?
Please do. We'll also send you a link to our free Facebook group. So we've got over 1,100 members of people who want to create profitable lifestyle businesses. So please feel free to join. We've got some great value in there as well. So I'd love to have you join us.
Awesome. Well, thanks, mate. That's awesome. And Mel, what would be your last point of call of recommendation or advice that you throw out to some of our friends?
I think if you're a fitness business owner, please get up out of your seat and walk through your business and really have a look at your business and understand your business and who your client is, because a lot of you are making decisions based on the business that you don't even really understand. So you're assuming that this is your business, but really this is your business. And when you understand your business, you will then be able to market and get the results that you deserve. Because for a lot of you, you're actually marketing to this, but this is your business. So this is wasted funds. It doesn't derive you an income. Know your market and it will derive you an income. And please don't be embarrassed to ask for help, irrespective of how long you've been in the industry, whether it's 5 years or it's 35 years. People don't expect you to know everything. It's okay to ask for help, no matter how late the question is. Just put your hand up and go, you know what? I need some help.
Terrific. So Mel, how can they get hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is across Facebook, obviously, or you can just email me, mel@ncable.net.au, or jump on our website.
Slow down.
Steve always makes me slow down. So mel@ncable.net.au, or jump on our website, meltempest.net.
Got it.
I talk the way I teach.
Well, I must give a big thank you to Jackson and Mel, both of you. Great insights, but also we didn't just give a whinge about the problem. Oh, people don't do this. And then it's easy to say, you don't know. But you've given us some great insights of what we can do. And having the ability to just reach out with you and ask some questions doing a little bit of killer cash flow that probably some people haven't done is going to be an enormous help from the get-go. So again, a great big thank you to you, Jackson and Mel. It's been awesome.
Thanks for having
me. Dave.
All right, gang. All right, so did you write stuff down? If you didn't, watch it again. It's not super long. You can scrub through all the good stuff, listen to Mel and Jackson, and take advantage of reaching out to Mel. She's easy to get hold of. She's always doing some great value videos, as well as Jackson. He does some amazing videos every single day, and they're gold. I can't wait to watch them. Now, these are people I know and respect. They're my friends, but they're also inside the inner circle. So use the resources they give you. There's no expectation. It's just to help. So you'll get that link to the killer cash flow. Make sure you create a killer cash flow. If you haven't got one, speak to the great man, Jackson Alarm. So I'm Dr. J. Hope you took some good notes. We'll see you soon. Bye for now.